Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
We're so glad to be with you as we go into this new year. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so God tells us that this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so we thank God for you. And we have a worldwide audience. And wherever you are, pray for us and we'll pray for you. And we'll pray for the folks around the world that love the Lord Jesus Christ and are serving him, some in very difficult situations. Today we're going to talk about the conversion of the Apostle Paul, somebody bitterly opposed to Christianity. And it's an interesting story that we find in the Word of God. It's found in Acts chapter 9. But to begin with, we'll have a report from our scientist in residence.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, it's good to be on you. Pastor Al Davis, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And of course, we're on here on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and Sunday nights from 11 till midnight. And right here on AM 1220, the Word. But just want to mention a couple things here as well. You can always go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can see more of some of Bruce's material there. You can listen to him even sing on that website, whereisgodsword.com. And there's also past programs that are there that are available, as well as some of the materials that Bruce has recommended from time to time. You can find all that at whereisgodsword.com. So I encourage you to check that out. Well, I wanted to mention something here today, and I was thinking about this, and this one hit me just the other day, and I was thinking in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, there's a verse that says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And that's an interesting statement. It really is. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And I did a little search on that verse, and I found a couple other verses that go along with it, and I'm going to read those, and I want to make a comment here. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. And then in Proverbs 15, verse 15, it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And then again in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? And so when we look at these things here and come back to this, we see the general idea here, and there's more that we could look at, the idea that somebody who's happy, cheerful, of a merry heart, you know, the old expression, laughter is a good medicine. And, you know, there's some medical basis for that. But also the other part that goes along with that, that we saw there in Proverbs 17:22, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. We saw something there also in Proverbs 15:13, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And in Proverbs 18:14, but a wounded spirit who can bear. And so that comes along with it there too. And so I was thinking of that. And then as you go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And that got me to thinking. They have actually done studies which show that people who are depressed, that the bone marrow, which is a moist, spongy material that's in your bones, especially in your large bones like your leg bones and things like that, that's what produces your blood cells, your red blood cells. That produces the white blood cells that are important for fighting infections and things like that. When you're happy and cheerful, your bone marrow has a greater mass and density than when you're depressed. People who are chronically depressed, they've actually measured decreases in the bone marrow. Now, remember what Proverbs 17:22 said, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Why would it say drieth the bones? If you think about that, well, medical science has found it does just that. It dries the bones. And the Bible says, and this is the key to being happy, I think, is to know your relationship with the Lord and be walking with him, because it says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Well, there's a direct correlation there. Somebody who's happy, somebody who's cheerful, somebody who has a merry heart, they're going to be healthier on average than somebody that's not. And part of the reason is because it's marrow to your bones. When you know that you're right with God and you're walking with the Lord, in fact, John wrote in 3 John, there's only one chapter there, verse 2, he said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And he's talking about when you're walking with the Lord and you're right with God, that you can be in good health as a result of that. And I think that that reflects what the Bible says in Jesus' words in John 14:1, where he said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. God, now that's talking about putting our faith in Christ as our Savior. But, you know, think about that. How many people in the world are consumed with worry and fear about their life, about their health, about, you know, am I going to have a heart attack? Am I going to have a stroke? What's going to happen? Am I going to lay my head down on the pillow at night and wake up in the morning? What is going to happen? And then they worry about their family members, parents, spouses, kids, all these things, worrying about whether or not you'll have your job, worrying about financial pressures. And, you know, when you come to the Lord, he said to cast our yoke upon him, if we're weary and heavy laden, right? And he'll give us what? Rest. God wants us to have rest, and that rest comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you have a home waiting for you with the Lord when you leave this world, that he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's with you every step of the way in this life, and he'll see you safely over when you cross the Jordan into heaven. And when we know that, then we, like the Bible says, not only is our heart happy, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but our spirit's not broken. It's not drying up the bones, but instead we're in good physical health, because literally the bone marrow, as medical science has shown, is producing the blood cells that carry the oxygen throughout our nutrition throughout our body, producing the white blood cells that help fight infection and disease. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. It's exactly right. But when we're consumed with grief and anguish and anxiety and fear and worry, it dries the bones and our health, our physical health, suffers. Good reason to trust Christ as your Savior, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Once again, that excellent report from Science and the Bible. And that's why this Bible is such a wonderful thing. And you can read it. And, you know, the Bible says that actually by reading the scripture, it will help our physical body. It'll help our flesh.
Right.
By reading it, you know, so there's so many benefits. But I know that it'll help us emotionally, because so many people, particularly in America, and I don't know how it is around the world, but I mean, they're emotionally upset and disturbed and taking all kinds of pills and stuff like that because of it. But if they were reading the Bible, the great peace of they that love thy law, and he gives you a calmness and a satisfaction mm-hmm. in life by just reading the Bible. It's that simple. I mean, it's cause and effect. And this is, Jesus said, the words I speak unto thee, you are a spirit and they are life. The Spirit of God is in these words, and they're called seed. They're living seed. And the word of God liveth and abideth forever. Now, the question is, where is it? Well, that's what this program is all about. It's in the Authorized King James Bible. We call it that, but it's the living word of God. And, of course, the counterfeit translations, they come and go on a regular basis. I mean, they don't even last longer most of the time than the translators. By the time the translators are dead, their translation is dead too. But the living Word of God is found in the Authorized King James Bible just goes on generation after generation. And we can thank God we have it. And that's what the program's all about. But I want to talk today about a man that got saved and was one of the most influential people in the history of Christianity. And his name was Saul, or Paul, Saul of Tarsus, or the Apostle Paul. And in here it records, in the book of Acts, chapter 9, it records his conversion. And it starts out like this. He was there that day when a man gave his witness named Stephen. He was a deacon in the church, and he was witnessing, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to a number of the leaders of Israel that day, and Paul happened to be there and listened to this message. And Stephen's message was a witness to Christ, but he pointed out that Israel had rejected most of the leading people that God had sent to them. And he showed time after time they were going to stone Moses. They rejected David for a while and the prophets and so on. And now God has sent Jesus and they reject him. And at this point, these men got so angry, they picked up stones and they stoned Stephen to death. And it says, Stephen looked up and saw the Lord Jesus, and it says, he said, Father, he said, forgive them. And then he said, calling on God. It says he saw Jesus calling on God. In other words, Stephen identified Jesus as God. Well, Paul at this point, he hears the whole message about Jesus. And at this point, he is infuriated because he has been educated as a Pharisaical Jew, and that's the sect of the Pharisees is what even today is known as the Orthodox Jews. And if you read Jewish history, they come from the sect of the Pharisees and believe much of the same thing today as they believed back then. But they had misinterpreted the law of Moses. And Paul was educated by them, by Gamaliel, a leading teacher of the Pharisees. And when he heard about Jesus, he saw contradictions into what he had been taught, and he became very upset and very angry. Now, you know, our job today is, I spent many years working for the Lord and working in a large Baptist church here in Cleveland, Ohio, and I would go and talk to people in their home, and I talked to them, and they would tell me their religious opinions and everything, and I didn't contradict them. After listening for a while, and they told me what they thought about everything, I said, well, I see that you've been thinking about it, you know. And then I simply gave them the message of Christ and salvation. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to be contradicting people or condemning people either, because Jesus said he didn't condemn, came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All we need to do is get out the message. It's that simple. And so that day he heard the message. And you see, when you give the message out, then the Holy Spirit works on that message. You know, when time of trouble comes in their life and they face big trouble and they come to the end of themselves, where do they go? Well, they go to the person that gave them the message. And so if you gave them the message, then they know where to go. Now, what is the message? The Bible says, daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus. That's the message. We're not preaching our denomination. And although we believe and teach the King James Bible, basically, we're giving that message to Christians. But to the unsaved, we use it as the Word of God, and we give the message, what? Jesus, daily in the temple, every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus. Now, today, many of us use the Romans Road, but when we use the Romans Road, we talk about Christ, mention Christ in there. But one of the problems with using that is that it doesn't say who Christ is. And when we preach Jesus, we need to tell who Christ is. That's what we need to preach. And I found out when I started doing that, I started finding that people responding and accepting Christ. I mean, before that was very few. When I started doing that, people were accepting him right along. Now, I'm going to tell you what I tell them. And it's just what the New Testament tells them. First of all, the New Testament talks about his birth. We need to point out that God Almighty said he was going to take on a human body. In the Old Testament, it says, a body hast thou made me. And in the womb of Mary, 2,017 years ago, God, the Holy Spirit entered into the womb of Mary, and Jesus was born. And that makes him, without a human father, his father was God through the Holy Spirit. And that makes him the God-man. So we need to talk about his birth, because the New Testament talks about his birth. We don't have to be complex or long. Just mention that it was God entering into a human body. And then we need to talk about his life. And I always did this. And his life demonstrated that he was God. Because only God could open blind eyes that people that have been born blind. Only God could take a person that was had leprosy and his body was rotten with leprosy, and suddenly the skin would come back like a newborn baby and the leprosy would disappear. Only God could go to a funeral and raise people from the dead time after time. And this happened, hundreds of thousands of people saw this. When Jesus was tried before he was crucified by the leaders in Israel, there wasn't one of the witnesses that came and said that he did not do the miracles, that he did not raise people from the dead or heal the sick. You know why they didn't say that? Because hundreds of thousands of people saw him do it. That's why they didn't say it. If they would have said it, everybody would have seen that they were liars. But they did not say it. And so we need to tell people about that. Then we need to tell them about his death. And his death was done as a payment for sin. God hates sin. And the payment for all of mankind's sin is the fact that is death and hell and judgment. And so when Jesus died, he paid for our sins. It was the love of God that was shown by his death. Jesus said, no man... He says, no man loves somebody more than that he would lay down his life for his friend. So he says, I call you friends now. And so God's love is shown in that. God commandeth his love toward us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for our sins. So I tell him this. And Jesus was beaten. He was stabbed. He was put a crown of thorns. He was hung there naked. He was punished in our place. And so when he died, he said, it is finished. And when he died, he was punished for every sin that we ever have done. And therefore, the Bible says, when we receive him as our God and our Savior, when we die, we'll go to heaven without any record that we've ever sinned. And if the Bible is not clear on anything, it is clear on this, that when we die, we'll meet God without any record of sin. The Bible says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm going to have joy, because if I went to God and I had my sins on me, I wouldn't have any joy. But I'll meet God, because there'd be no record I've ever sinned. And I have the righteousness of Christ counted to me. You know, the Bible says that God is able to confirm us blameless to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we, as a Christian even, will be blameless at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day is the rapture. The day is the day of resurrection. And we'll be blameless. What a wonderful thought that is. That is tremendous, incredible. Why? Jesus lived a perfect life. His perfection counted to me. My sins counted to him. My sins paid for. His blood takes away my sins. Well, then, the New Testament talks about his resurrection. And Jesus said, I'm going to die physically and bodily, and the third day I'm going to walk out of the tomb. And so we need to tell people all these things that I've mentioned. And we could say it, and it doesn't even take long. But he bodily came out of the tomb. Who could say that I'm going to die and rise from the dead and then pull it off? And they put a spear in his side, and he must have bled terribly because of the beating. And they put him in the tomb, and people saw him die. And he was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. And then he came out of the tomb, and they met him there. And after that, he was with his disciples 40 days. He was with them 40 days, and 500 people saw him at one time. And many disciples saw him at different times. And so he came out of the tomb. And now the Bible says God has made him Lord in Christ. Now, Paul heard this message, and Paul was angry because he was fighting against it. It didn't fit into his doctrine, his theological ideas, what he believed in Judaism. And he was fighting it, and he was in a rage. And sometimes when people hear the gospel, they are fighting against it, and they get very hostile towards you if you've told them in Christ and Christianity. So he was out there taking men and women and taking them bound, and he was going from Jerusalem to Damascus, Syria, to get them bound and kill them and torture them. He actually tortured them to get them to blaspheme Jesus. And on the way, he saw the living Christ. And Christ had come from heaven to meet Paul. And you know, Christ went out and visited him. I'm telling you, you know, if Christ could go from heaven to visit Paul, to lead him to himself, bring him to himself, we should go out and preach the gospel to people individually and go to individuals. Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. You know, I had a friend, and there's a group of Baptists called General Association Regular Baptists, and this lady went to one of the churches, and she was joking about it. She called it, she said, GRB. It stands for GRB. It stands for Grand Army Rebellious Baptist. And I know that it was somewhat humorous to say this, but, you know, I think of so many of people in churches, Sunday school teachers. They come to teach class, and they teach class. They never visit. They don't visit the absentees. They don't visit the lost. They don't do a thing. They just come, you know, and do that. They're a grand God, and all over America and all over the world, you had Sunday school teachers and Christian workers that never do anything. You know, even preachers. Preachers, you need to get away from your computers. And deacons and Sunday school teachers, turn off the television and get out there on the streets and go after the lost. That's how Jesus started his ministry. He went after them individually, one by one. And he went out of heaven to visit Paul. And we need to do that. And so Paul sees this great light. And you know, many times God had appeared in the Old Testament to people, and they saw the glory of God. And so Paul saw the glory of God that day. And you know what we need to see to be saved is see the glory of God. He saw Jesus that day. And we need to see the glory of God, that Jesus Christ is not just a prophet or a teacher, but he is Almighty God. We need to see him. He's wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the one that upholds the universe and the stars in their place, the one that raises the dead, that walked on the sea, that healed the sick. And we need to see him in all of his glory. And so he said, saw Jesus, and then he said, Jesus said to him, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you fighting against me? And Paul says to him, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus says, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou art persecuting. And Paul said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? There's salvation right there. That's when Paul got saved. You know, we have today, we talk about accepting Jesus, but you know, in the Bible, when they accepted him, they called him Lord. Do you know every apostle called Jesus Lord? And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's Lord mean? It means he's God. It means he has the right to tell you what to do, see? You know, people discuss whether Judas was saved. You know all the apostles called Jesus Lord? Judas never did. Look it up in the Bible. He never called Jesus Lord. He called him Master, a name for teacher. But he didn't call him Lord. But you know, if Jesus is Lord, how is he Lord? He is Lord through the Word of God, the Bible. It's been translated, and it's in your language wherever you are in the world. And so you accept Jesus, and accepting Christ is accepting his words. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? And he says, and if you're ashamed of me and my words, and it's always connected. So today, say to Jesus, I accept you as Lord. You have a right to tell me what to do. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. I receive you this day Forgive me. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.